Hey, friendly reminder, this podcast is not for kids or people who have a stick up their ass.
Friday, 5:58 p.m.
I'm sleeping with my best friend's husband.
I think my uncle killed someone in his suicide.
I am a sugar baby.
Soccer mom addicted to Adderall.
I think my sister is actually my uncle's kid.
My husband bought his hooker a car whenever I was helping
him. I was living with my husband.
What's your secret? Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. My name is Ace Fanning, and if you've somehow found yourself here without listening to part one, you got to go back an episode. Otherwise, none of this will make sense. But before we get into this episode, I wanted to talk for a minute about narcissistic personality disorder, because it's one of those terms that I feel is like flying around a lot right now. And I'm not saying that because I'm saying that I don't believe this woman was with a narcissist, because she absolutely was. Like, he checks off every box so perfectly. But I do hear that phrase all the time. Oh, he's a narcissist, she's a narcissist. And I just wanted to try and give a little bit more background on it. And by background, I mean like what I could find on Google and summarize for you. Because I'm not going to lie to you, I have found myself wondering so many times, am I a narcissist? Because when you read about it, just listen, when you read about it, it talks about a deep need for excessive attention. Well, shit, yeah, that's me. Like, everyone who's on social media, everyone who felt the need to start a podcast, like, oh, shit, okay, yeah, got that one. Inflated sense of their own importance. That one kind of threw me, because it's like, okay, it's not that I think that I am more important than anyone else. I think that I'm a sack of dog shit, but I think, like, everything in my life is do or die. So I was a little worried on that one. And then, oh, this one really got me. A fragile self-esteem that's vulnerable to the slightest criticism. If that's not me, I don't fucking know. Like, that one really nails it on the head for me. But, thankfully, narcissists are also known for having rocky relationships, which I don't think I have rocky relationships. They hate it when they aren't given special favors. I don't like favors. I actually hate favors. I don't like special treatment, because I always feel like in my head, if you give that to me or if you do that for me, then I'm like, I'm going to owe it back to you and you'll hold it over my head. So I'm always just like, yeah, no, I'm good. Don't ever help me with anything. Don't ever make things easier. Just, you know, no thank you. They insist on always having the best of everything. They take advantage of others to get what they want. They believe that they are superior and can only speak, you know, with other people who they believe are equally special. So I'm like, oh, no, I don't think those are me. I mean, maybe, like, maybe I'm so delusional I am. But then this one, I was like, okay, no, I'm good. It's that they lack any sort of empathy at all. Like, I just cried the other day on a meeting when my friend's daughter gave her a hug after they had had, like, this tiny little spat. Like, I'm just really sweet, you know, like, I think I'm good there. Like, I mean, I did just make this whole intro about myself, so like, maybe I am a narcissist, I don't know. But I will say that I think if you're like me and you find yourself questioning your every move and your every motive, I think that we're safe, because I think that narcissists don't typically self-reflect like that. Like, they're never at fault. So if you're really worried about it, you're probably safe. But I think it's important to know that these people are out there and they're destructive. And my goal with sharing these stories is that hopefully, like, these stories can help put into context how these people operate. And then that hopefully by listening to these stories, one day, like, if you find yourself in a situation like this, like, the alarm bells will go off. Like, if you see somebody close to you going through these things, be like, dude, listen to the story. All the things are the same. Like, that's what I want. That's what I'm hoping for. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe I'm failing. Okay. You've been waiting long enough. This week's secret, the manipulated military wife's infidelity, part 2.
So we end up, like, you know, me and this boyfriend now, we're like living together. Well, my ex-husband is about to come home at this point. Fuck. Like, what do you do? And I remember, like, my boyfriend, like, at the time was like, you need to figure that out. We shouldn't be together. You need to figure that out. Like, you need to figure it out. You have a kid. Get it handled. I'm going to take myself out of this equation, because if I'm in the equation, you're not going to make a decision for you. And I'm, like, devastated by that. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, no, please don't. Like, I want to be with you. And he's like, no, listen, like, if you make this decision for me, I will never forgive you. Because I couldn't trust you if you were like, I'm going to break up with my husband because I want to be with him. And so naturally, I'm like, well, that's not what I'm doing. But it was. I don't know that I would have had the push to leave my ex if it wasn't for him. So even though, like, he's saying, don't leave your husband for me, I'm sitting here like, dude, yes, I need you. I needed someone to show me what could be so I could leave. So he ends up, like, moving in with one of our friends that lives down the street for the time being. Cause, like, you know, my ex-husband's coming home. I can't have this dude living in my house. Definitely not in my bedroom. And I, like, do the whole military wife, my husband's coming home, like, paint my car, not for me, but for our child and the pictures that I knew would be taken. And I didn't want to, like, sully that experience for him and our kid, because at this point, our kid was 2 years old in a few months, kind of old enough to, like, know dad. And so I show up, he, like, runs to me and our kid, and I'm just immediately like, oh gosh, ew, I want nothing to do with you. I'm, like, repulsed. And I ended up telling him that fucking night. He walked in the doors with his bags, starts talking about, like, where he's been. And I'm like, I want a divorce. Like, I just blurted it out. Because I was like, if I don't say this right now, I'm going to be stuck again. So my asshole self told this guy the day he came back from deployment that I wanted a divorce. Well, naturally, he did not take that well, like any adult would, you know. He lost his mind, punched a hole in the wall, fucking freaked out. Our kid was in bed at this point. So I ended up texting, actually, my now husband's best friend. He was tall, like 6'3". My ex-husband was a twerp. So I was like, dude, come here and help me get out of this house, because I'm, like, I'm actually legitimately scared. And they're like, call the MPs, call the MPs. And I'm like, no, I don't want that drama. Like, I just need someone to be here. So my husband's now best friend actually showed up on the doorstep and was like, you're going to let her fucking leave. And my ex-husband, like, totally backed out and was like, yeah, that's fine. So I ended up, like, packing a suitcase and going and staying at the same house that my boyfriend was at. And I end up living there. And my ex-husband still thinks that we're, like, trying to work on things. And I'm like, dude, no, we are done. Like, I want a divorce. The only reason I'm even still here is mainly because I have this boyfriend. And also because we have a child together and I'm not going to take her out of his life. Like, that's not what my plan was at all. So I was like, I'm going to stick it out. Like, I'm going to hang out here until you're out of the military, which we only had at this point. Like, when he got back, he only had 6 months left on his contract before he was done. I can stick it out for 6 months. I can live with these friends in their garage. I lived in their garage for 6 months with my boyfriend. But this is where shit kind of gets a little crazy. So I've got this boyfriend and I'm, like, feeling good. I'm like, okay, I'm getting out of this horrid relationship. I've got this boyfriend. But you don't really think about, like, all the technical shit that comes with that. Like, oh, we have shared bank accounts. Oh, wait, I haven't worked in 2 years. He's paid for everything for me. Our bank account, I use the debit card, I buy diapers, I buy wipes. And now I have no money because he fucking went and took me off the account. He's like, nope. And I'm like, oh my God, shit. So my boyfriend, who's like a single military guy, isn't making nearly as much as I was married, because you make more when you're married. He's like buying my kid diapers and wipes, and he's buying food for us for the house we're staying at, and paying like rent for us. Truly so wonderful, right? 21-year-old guy, like we're the same age. He was 21. And he's like now all of a sudden has a girlfriend and a kid and responsibilities that he's never had. And he's just like taking it in stride. Like it is what it is. And while all this was going on, my ex-husband is manipulating every single person in my life. He got to them before I could. So he had called my parents, my siblings, my friends, everybody. And he's like, she cheated on me the entire time I was deployed. She had a boyfriend. He was living in our house. He was sleeping in our shared bed. I mean, he makes me out to sound like a monster. And the worst part was like, none of it was wrong. It was all true. I did do that. But, you know, he wasn't giving the lead up of the story. So all of a sudden, one morning, it was actually New Year's Eve, I'm sleeping in bed with my boyfriend and my phone starts going off. It's like 3 a.m. where we lived. My phone is blowing up and it's my friends from back home. And they're like, get on Facebook right now. It's like, you need to see what so-and-so posted. And when I say so-and-so, it was a sibling of mine. And I'm like, what? It's like, you need to get on Facebook right now. Like shit is hitting the fan. Get on your Facebook and look. And this is when I learned that you need to put on your approval for tagged anything. So I get on Facebook. And a sibling of mine had posted this, oh my God, like, I don't know, 2,000 word essay about me cheating on my deployed husband with the person I was cheating with, and tagged us both. I should also say that my current husband, his family is LDS. My husband is not, but his family is devout LDS, right? And they know he has a girlfriend, but like, they don't know all of this. Well, now they do. And literally they said, and it was actually like two of my siblings, they had like come together and they had said something along the lines of like, we hope that you end up to my, you know, boyfriend, basically. We hope that you end up dead in a ditch somewhere so that your family can feel the loss of what we're going to feel by losing my husband. Fucked up. And I'm just like disgusted. Like I instantly feel sick to my stomach because at this point, it had been on my Facebook for like 4.5 hours. My grandma was like 95 and was my friend on Facebook. And I'm like, oh, you know, like, oh my God, everybody is seeing this. Everybody. Like it had like 90 likes. I'm like, oh God, you know. And my now husband was like, you have got to untag me. Like, I cannot be in this situation. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, I feel terrible. So I'm like, I'm tagging us, but the damage is done. There is no coming back. I mean, the things they said were horrendous. Like I can't even remember all of it, but basically like they literally told my now husband they wished he was dead. How do you come back from that? You know, wished he was dead. I was a cheating whore, probably had STDs. That's great. That's nice. I'm so glad everybody thought that, you know, you name it. Like what else could you possibly say about somebody? It was bad. And it was New Year's Eve. So they were like drunk posting this. They have no remorse. I immediately call my mom and I'm like losing it. And I'm like, this is what they're saying. And my mom's like, well, honey, they're adults. Like I can't stop them. And I'm like, oh my God, I know, but shit. And my mom is kind of like, well, you know, he didn't really do the right thing here. Like I can't really be on your side. And I'm like, what? Of all people, you know what was occurring, you know. And I'm like, I can't believe what's happening right now. Like, I felt like I was in like this vacuum, you know, my dad wouldn't even speak to me. My parents have been married for like 40 something odd years of this, you know, now. So, you know, like they're together. Right. And my dad is like, nope, I want no fucking part of this. I don't even want to talk to her. And I'm like, let me explain. And they're like, there is nothing to fucking explain. You cheated on your husband. You made a fucking mistake. You made your bed, lie in it. And I'm like, whoa, wait, you know? So then I started telling everybody like this shit. Cause I was like, listen, if we're going to like spill the tea, well, shit, it's the harbor. I'm going to let the whole fucking freight out of this ship. It's going to be the Boston Tea Party. Like I'm going to spill it. So I just started explaining everything that's been occurring now at this point for, we're talking, it'd been like 3 years of us being married.
Here's the thing though, about you laying it all out is you're now a crazy person. Like, you're now telling these lies because you're trying to cover your own ass and you don't want people to think this way about you. And I'm sure right now, people listening to this interview might be thinking, you should have just left your husband. You should have divorced him. You should have done the power of attorney thing and done the right thing. And there's a million things that you should have done. And I'm not saying that you were right in cheating on your husband, but I do think that we all need to have this moment to realize that we don't fucking know what is going on in someone else's home and in someone else's marriage. But I do think that the shittiest part about you wanting to go and spill everything is that you are now an unhinged woman who is just trying to save your own ass.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you're in that moment, you don't even think of that being the possibility, right? You're like, oh, it's my turn. I'm going to tell my side of the story. You don't think, oh, nobody's going to believe this and that I'm just making this up now because I've cheated and I need everybody to like excuse my behavior, right? But yeah, absolutely. Everybody thought I was a fucking liar. And they're all like, look at your Facebook. Look at all this great shit he's bought you over the last 4 years. You have Tiffany's bracelets and, you know, these purses and these shoes and you have everything you wanted. And, you know, like, it is so good. And look at these pictures of him with your kids. Like, he's the best dad. And I'm sitting here like, dude, fuck, he like never changed a diaper. I like chucked the monitor at him one time because I was like, you don't fucking hear her crying? Like, for the love of God, dude, get up. He wasn't. He was none of these things. But I had put on such a grand performance that nobody was going to believe the truth. And that realization hit me. And I was like, fuck, I did this to myself. And now I have no one. I don't have family. I don't have friends. I have this boyfriend. And he's getting out of the military at the exact same time my ex-husband is. And he's going home. And I have to go home to my home to finalize a divorce. And I have a kid with this guy. Like, I can't go home with my boyfriend. Like, it hits you. You're like, I can't do that. I'm an adult. Like, you can't just like run away from your responsibilities. And like, how do you come home to a family that thinks so terribly of you? And you feel like this just like shame. I felt so much shame. Oh my God. I remember thinking like, I could just die right now. And everybody would just be better off because they wouldn't have to deal with explaining the situation to other people. My ex-husband would just have our kid. And my boyfriend's young enough, he could just like go on and have a totally different life. Like, he'll never even fucking care, right? You know, that was like this idea that I had because I was just miserable. And I just thought like, I have to go home to this. So it happened. You know, we ended up living together, my boyfriend and I, for like those 6 months. And he gets out of the military 2 weeks before my ex-husband got out, actually. Like, just crazy that they joined at the exact same time, but went to two completely different boot camps. They did not know each other at all. And my boyfriend goes home, you know, to his family that just seemed amazing in comparison at the time. And I had to go home with my ex-husband to family that wanted to support him and not me. And I had to live in my parents' house with my ex-husband. And because I didn't want to be with my ex-husband, I slept on the couch. Like, he slept in my like childhood bedroom with like our kid in the crib. And I'm like, you know, on the couch in my family's house because he's got nowhere to go. He just got out of the military. He's like that out of transition. I ended up filing for divorce on July 3rd, 2011. And like legit my own Independence Day. And I remember my parents, like, they were still so angry. And I just remember like crying to my mom. And I'm like, do you know all the shit he's put me through? Like, how the fuck could you expect me to stay? It was like she realized it, but she just like didn't. It was almost like she had been so manipulated at this point too that she was almost, I think she was almost like, I don't know what to believe. And I'm like, Mom, you saw this shit unfold. You witnessed it. You were there for it. Like, you have seen it more than anybody. And she was just like, yeah, but what you did was wrong. And I'm like, I know. I did not try to justify it. I was like, this was not the right way to go about things. I own that 100%. If I could go back in time, would I do it all again? Fuck yes. But it was not the best way to do things. But at the time, it was the only way for me. And I just remember thinking, like, how can you be so angry with me when you know all the shit he put me through and you saw it? And my mom actually was married. Her first husband was abusive. They had no kids together, thank God. And they were married for a year, was all. And she met my dad. And and now they've been married like 50, you know, damn near like 47 years. I don't even know at this point, you know, they have four kids and oodles of grandkids and great, great grandkids at this point. So I just couldn't believe that like, nobody wanted to like believe me or be my friend. But my mom is still my mom. My dad is still my dad. So naturally, like, they don't really have a choice in supporting me and my kid. So I filed for divorce and my parents actually paid for my lawyer. And like leaving him was like this moment of like, okay, cool, great, I'm leaving you. But like, I still can't move, right? Because like, now we have joint custody of this kid and she's now three. And I'm stuck in this fucking shithole. And my boyfriend is 1,800 miles away and I can't be with him. And I'm miserable. And my ex ends up like, you know, eventually moving out and like living with friends and then getting his own place and whatever and enrolling in college and doing all of that. And we're like co-parenting decently effectively at this point. I'm living with my parents and my boyfriend and I are in this long distance relationship. I would go out and see him like once every 3 months. So we would like go back and forth. So we just saw each other 3 or 4 times a year was all for 2.5 years. And the craziest thing was that like through all of this, I realized like, I can't fucking leave the state because I have joint custody. I have to get full custody of this child. How the fuck do I do that? People are going to think this is messed up. I'm going to just say it right now. This is where my mind shift gears. And I went, the only way that you can manipulate and a manipulator is by like playing the same fucking game, right? So I did. I was like, you want to play games with me? Like, I'm just going to play them right back. Because at this point, like, we're divorced. We have joint custody. He has the typical like, every Wednesday night, every other weekend, but he would never take her. He would literally call me and be like, so actually, can you take her this weekend? And I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. He wasn't even taking her like he should. He still came and got her. He's still a good dad, but he definitely wasn't taking his full advantage by any means. He wasn't paying child support. He had to pay me $125 a month and I never saw it. Never. So I realized I have to fight for custody. It's the only way I can move. So I do. I fought for custody pro se. I had no lawyer. I did it completely by myself because I couldn't afford a lawyer. And my parents certainly were not bored with this. Like, they wanted me to stay there. You know, they didn't want me to go anywhere. They did not like my boyfriend because they like truly still thought he was the reason for this divorce. So they still had like so much resentment. In fact, when my husband asked me to marry him, he did not bring it up to my dad because he's like, your dad would have said no. He's not wrong. He would have. And I'm an independent woman. So you do not need to ask my dad for my hand in marriage. That's just my 2 cents. But I start fighting for full custody and realizing very quickly that this is not an easy battle. Like, you don't just get full custody, right? It just doesn't happen. And he wasn't like a bad dad. He wasn't abusive towards her. So what do I have? Nothing. Except that on the night we got divorced, he got a DUI. And he was actually supposed to have our child that night and he didn't. So he got a DUI. I tried to use that against him, which kind of like looking back, I'm like, that was shitty. Like, that's the only thing he ever did wrong, you know, legally. And like, we just gotten divorced. I can't really blame a guy for drinking a little. So the court then is like, no, you guys have to go to mediation. You guys have to figure this out on your own. Like, you can't just, we're not just gonna grant you full custody, which naturally I wouldn't expect anybody to. So we end up going to mediation. And this is probably the best thing that could have happened to us because our mediator saw right through his bullshit. I have all the court documents still. I'm like reading her notes gives me life. Because she literally is like, he's a narcissist in her notes. She's like, he's a narcissist. He will not take responsibility for anything he's done in this relationship. And he's emotionally controlling of her. Like, if I would get sad, he'd be like, you don't get to cry. You did this. And she was like making notes of all that. She saw right through his facade. And then he would try to spin it. And she just saw right through it. Like, nope. Mm-mm. But I mean, at the same time, she saw through my shit. She was like, you can't blame him for everything. I mean, she's not wrong. Like, I couldn't blame him for everything. And, you know, she was like, at some point, like, you're an adult, you have to take responsibility for your actions in this. And I'm like, oh, I do. But also, like, can we talk about the years and years of mental and emotional abuse that occurred that put me in this position to do things the way I did them? And so we ended up doing mediation for like over a year because they're just not going to grant custody. Meanwhile, at this point, he's like dating another person. It's all fine. I did not care at all. In fact, I was like, thank God, because he was still like trying to have sex with me. And he ended up getting back with like a high school girlfriend. And the best thing that could have happened. He got her pregnant. Thank heavens. She got pregnant, and that changed the direction of this entire thing like that. So we're still fighting our custody battle. He's fighting it hard. You're not taking our kid. Like, you're not leaving with this kid. And we end up getting to the point where we had one mediation left, and it was the final court date where they say, like, this is what's happening. There is no changing it. This is what's happening. And I knew that my chances were slim. Like, I knew it. But I was like, well, I'm going to kind of take one from his playbook. His wife's like very, very pregnant at this point, like literally about to have this baby. Girlfriend, they weren't married yet. And I go to him and I'm like, look, if you just let me leave with this kid, you'll never have to pay child support again. And he's like, well, that's a lot to consider. I'm like, yeah, because I'm in my head, I'm like, he's about to have another kid. Like, he doesn't want to be tied down to me. And she certainly does not want him tied down to me. So I'm like, this is what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to give you like every summer, Christmas and Thanksgiving if you want it, Easter if you want it, any other time during the year if you want it, as long as you give me notice and we can work it out with school, you can have her. But at the same time, I'm leaving. That's just how this is going to happen. We have one more court date. They're going to grant me custody, and then you're going to be shit out of luck, and you're still going to be paying child support. Like, that's what I told him. And like, I didn't know any of that. Obviously that was my hope. So I end up telling him all this, and he's like, you know, that's a lot to think about. Like, let me think about it and get back to you. And then they have their baby like a few days later. I feel like I was a good person in the sense of like, we had a decent like co-parenting relationship even then. I take her to the hospital to meet, you know, the new baby brother. I brought a baby gift, like I'm not an asshole. And 2 days later, he messages me and he's like, hey, come to my work. I like wrote up a contract. And I was like, shit, yes, let me go. I fucking jetted over there. And he literally agreed to everything I had laid out and was like, yeah. So when we go see the judge in 2 days, I'm going to say I'm okay with you moving as long as I get every summer, Christmas or Thanksgiving if I want it, spring break if I want it, and any other time, like you said, if I pay for it, I can take the kid for like a week or two, whatever. I'm like, okay. And he's like, as long as I don't have to pay child support. I'm like, yeah, totally fine. So we go to the judge, and that's, you know, we lay it out, and this judge looks shocked. And this judge is like, okay, but you don't get off scot-free. Like, you can't just have a kid and not pay child support and like not, you know, see this kid ever. So you need to cover this kid's insurance. Like, that is the one thing you have to do. I'm not letting you off scot-free. We had that court date, and I was like, look, I will give it through the birthday. And then like, we're leaving, we're going to move. We're moving to this other state. Like, it is happening. Planned my wedding to my boyfriend. Well, fiance at the time, I planned my wedding to him in 4 months. Time came. We had a co-parenting birthday party for our child. Like, my fiance flew to where I lived and my ex-husband lived, and we threw a birthday party with my ex-husband and his then fiance and their kid, and had this big co-birthday party for our kid who was turning 5. And my family was there, his family was there. It was awkward, but it was like this very good moment of like, well, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna just co-parent. Like, this is what we have to do. We'll figure it out, you know. And we did. And then we jumped in my car with my U-Haul trailer and was like, peace out. I'm out. And I moved here 7 years ago. My husband and I have full custody. When I got home that night, I decided to read the paperwork from the judge because it gave it to me anyways, even though it didn't matter. And her judgment was going to be that we kept our co-parenting schedule as planned. And that if I wanted to leave, then my ex-husband should get full custody and I should leave without her.
Maybe you do have some game.
Maybe a little. So I'm like, oh, dodged a bullet, right? But here's the thing. Truly, if that had happened, like if the judge had said, like, this is what's going to happen. If you want to leave, bye, you can leave. You're not taking your kid. I would not have stayed with my husband, which is heartbreaking. But I was not going to choose anybody over my child. It wasn't going to happen. So I end up, my ex-husband, this is just like further into his manipulation. They weren't even like engaged when they had this baby. They got engaged like shortly after. They didn't even have a wedding planned. And all of a sudden they got married the weekend before my husband and I went to Vegas and got married.
How often does your ex see your child?
Not often. It's been 7 years. He has never taken her for a Thanksgiving or Christmas. And I should also say that both my husband and his wife are very well off. My husband and I do pretty well for ourselves. We split the costs of any travel 50-50. That is our agreement, has always worked. We're fine with it. So this isn't for like lack of funds, okay? So I don't want anybody to think, you know, I'm keeping this child from him because he can't afford to see her. It is not like that. They're totally just fine. They've only ever taken her for summers. And this summer they did not, which was a choice we all made because of COVID. And it was not an easy choice by any means. There was a lot of tears on all our ends because it was a hard, difficult thing to do. But this was the first summer that she stayed with us. So in fact, she has not seen her biological dad, stepmom, or her other siblings. She hasn't seen them in a year at this point, which is heartbreaking, but it is kind of what it is. But our relationship is very different now. My ex-husband and I co-parent. We should probably write a book. We have vacations together. We hang out. His wife is one of my best friends, which is like the craziest. If you had told me even, 9 years ago that would happen, I would have been like, you're crazy. You're absolutely out of your mind. We're not all going to go to Disneyland and stay in a beach house together. Yes, we did that 2 years ago. I'll be honest. When we vacationed together, I saw that my ex-husband is exactly the same way with his current wife as he was with me. And it breaks my heart. But she okay with it, or appears okay with it. I don't know. I can't tell her that, this isn't okay. When we were vacationing together, he would do things and I would go into a full panic attack. And my husband would have to be like, we need to walk away. Like, we have to just like, let's go in the other room. Like, let's talk. And he'd have to talk me off this like full on panic attack because I would have these moments of like, oh my God, that was our marriage. Now my ex-husband and I have both been with our other spouses for longer than we were ever together. But I still see these moments with her. I just, you're like, you don't deserve that. Like, shit, I know exactly what that's like. I went through that with him and I'm so sorry that you have to go through it. And sadly, like, part of me was like, kind of be like, man, I hope she hears this and she knows, because they'll know. I mean, they'll know the details and she would know instantly. And I hope she knows that, like, I would back her. Oh, I'd back her so hard, 100%. I would throw him fucking right under the bus. And when we vacationed together, there was like a few times where he would say something to her and I'd call him out on it. I was like, fuck no, you're not going to do that in front of me. You did that shit to me for years. You're not about to do it to her in front of me. I will not stand for it. It is one of those situations where we co-parent so well now that it's hard to talk badly about him because I don't want our daughter to think like these terrible negative things. You have to remember that when my ex and I even separated, she was only 18 months old. So our kid doesn't even know a life of us ever being together. Our kid turns 12 soon and my husband has raised her since 2, pretty much. And full time since 5, she has 2 dads. Like, that's 2 moms. That's just how this life works. And, I think she's pretty fucking well adjusted. I'm sad for her at the same time that I couldn't keep us together. But at the same time, I'm grateful. Because that wasn't a relationship that I'd want anybody to emulate or think of or want for themselves. And especially not a girl, I don't want them to see that and think that's like, you can call your wife names. No, absolutely not. It all kind of just worked out in a crazy way to say that, my husband and I found each other from cheating and had this crazy like whirlwind relationship that's blossomed now into this 10-year, totally long-term relationship that's just, by all accounts, just a totally normal, great marriage. We've been through more as a married couple than I feel like a lot of people are in 25, 30 years of being married. We went through a custody battle and 2.5 years of long fucking distance and crazy families that were like, no, you should not be together. I mean, if you ask my parents now, they love him. They adore him. And everybody can kind of look back now and be like, oh, okay, not our shining moment. But in the time, it was so crazy. And I think for me, the biggest like part of all of this is just simply that, like we kind of said before, like you don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. What you're seeing on Facebook, social media, TikTok, I don't fucking care what you watched. It's not real. They've pushed the shit out of the frame and taken a picture. And as soon as that picture was taken, the shit goes back in the frame. Like, that's just how this goes. And normal marriage is work, there's work, you have to put in the work, but emotional abuse should not occur on any level for either husband or wife. It shouldn't happen. Your spouse should not scream in your face. Your spouse should not put you down. Your spouse should not get to tell you where you can and cannot go. If it's not dangerous to you, they should not get a say. And I don't know that I'm going to tell our kid all of this. I think some parts of her know, you know, truly I do. She's pretty intuitive. And now she's at the age where she can tell, you know, that he's not around. He's not calling for her. He's not Skyping her, whatever. She knows. But there are definitely pieces I'll keep to myself for her sake, because I don't want her to hate him. I don't. It's not her fault. He was like this before her. But at the same time, I don't want her to ever think it's that you have to stay in a relationship for any reason. There's no reason. So if anybody is listening to this, that'd be my takeaway. Like, you do not need to stay. There is not a single person on this earth that is the reason you have to stay. So whether that's because you're just afraid of what people will think, or how long you've been with this person, or your income, or whatever, there's not a good enough reason. And it's horrible to say, but I feel like so many people just, they stick it out. They're miserable, and they just think, well, this is how life has to be. I have to be miserable. No, no, you don't. You can leave.
There's something that you talked about, and it was something that I've heard from another person who was in an abusive marriage, and that was about the shame around people discovering that your relationship was flawed and that you got married to, like, you were proving people right that you got married too young and you shouldn't have done this and all this other bullshit. And I think what that communicates to me is that we have to be mindful of the things that we say to people who find themselves in those situations. And we have to be mindful of if we're putting people down, because as soon as we do, we cut off a line of communication that where they feel comfortable enough to come and talk to us.
Yeah. I mean, even now, I think I'm a lot more mindful of what I post on social media, because I never want to give off like a fake persona. Because I think to myself, like, what if something crazy happened to my husband and I, and people don't believe me, you know, you think, because that's just how you feel. But I definitely am like way more mindful. And I remember even just recently, like, I graduated college, and I had posted something on Facebook, like, about all the work that I had put into graduating. And now I'm like halfway through my master's at this point, and people are like, oh my God, like, you're a Wonder Woman. Like, you have kids and a job and you do all this. And I am always, always like 100% like, listen, I can only do this because I have a supportive husband. A supportive spouse is like 90% the reason you can do something. It's the truth. You know, like, yes, okay, I took the test. I did that. You know, that was me. But I couldn't have done that if my husband wasn't helping with our children, doing things with our kids so that I could do this, cooking dinner, changing diapers, putting a kid to bed so I can work on a test late, whatever it is. Like, this is all an accumulation because I have this supportive spouse. I lost that part of myself with my ex. I dropped out of college in the career field that I'm still in, that I loved, because I couldn't do it because of him, because he was not supportive. And I'm grateful that my ex-husband and I are like on good terms, but I have a lot of resentment still. I still hate him. That's the best thing I can say. I love him because I had a child with him. Like, I love him for being the father of my child, but as a person, I fucking hate him. That's the truth. I still see the exact same shit he did to me. I know it's still there. Nothing has changed. It's so when him and his wife post on Facebook, it's literally like watching my post 10 years ago. I see it and I'm just like, oh God. Oh, at the same time, like, I can't fix their relationship, and I have to just let that go. You know, I can't let it affect me. I can't let it crawl into my life. But there are so many bad characteristics of him that I see in our daughter that scare the shit out of me. And it's worrisome, because you're like, fuck. you know, you've got so many good parts and then you got these bad parts, and that's such a horrible thing to say, but you're just like, oh. So I feel like I'm always trying to teach our kid to like proper responses to emotional turmoil, so that she has healthy responses and that she doesn't shut people down and try to control people around her with manipulation, because I see it. And you know, it's like a thing. And I'm very hyper, I think I'm hyper aware of it. So it's just a different circumstance. And, you know, I think people hear cheating and it's an immediate, like, once a cheater, always a cheater. Well, no, it's not. I've been with my husband for 10 years. I've not been with anybody else. I haven't had the inkling to sleep with anybody else. It's just us. Like, we're just good in that respect. We, you know, we've had our shit too. When we were long distance, that was not easy. We actually experienced infertility after we were married and had to go through IVF to have our children, which was hard. So we experienced a lot of setbacks, but in the same sense, we fought for our relationship to work. And, you know, I just think people, you hear cheating and you can't help yourself. You know, I mean, I've listened to some of these secrets. I'm like, fuck, man, I am so glad you're not my friend, or I'm so glad you're not this person. And that's like horrible. And I immediately have to like step back and be like, whoa, wait a second. Remember your situation. And now everybody that's in our lives, they don't know the life from 10 years ago. They don't even know it. There's people who have no idea that my oldest is not my husband's. They're like, yeah, that's his kid. You know what I mean? Like, there's, and then when they find out, they're like, wait, what? But the people in our lives, they don't know that life. So they don't have like a false sense, you know, that they can even think of. But the people in our lives that do, like our families, both our families, like, you know, I'm sure they still have their thoughts and ideas on the situation. But overall, it was the best thing I could have done. And I think if you ask any of my family members now, they'd be like, yeah, thank God she did that, because I don't know where she'd be.
I think about this podcast, and I think about, even you said yourself that you listen to some of these secrets and you think, oh my God, like, who are these people and all this stuff. And I think that's exactly the reason why I want to share stories from every perspective, because it just makes us realize that every story is different. Every person's in a different place. And I saw this quote the other day, and it said, how easy it is to be totally wrong about people, to see one tiny part of them and confuse it for the whole. And I think about you, and I think about the situation that you found yourself in. I think about that stupid Facebook post from your siblings. And I think, to be honest, to be completely frank with you, there are people out in the world who, they don't know you past that post. Like, they didn't know you before it. They didn't know you after it. And they think, this bitch is a whore who cheated on her husband, who was deployed. Like, what a despicable human being she is. And
yeah,
that's why I think we all need to be better about giving more grace to people and trying to better understand. And like I said, I don't think that you were right for cheating on your husband. I think that there were a lot of more productive things you could have done to get out of that relationship. But I also think that I understand. I understand how you got to that point. And hearing your story, it makes me realize that if I had read that Facebook post and I didn't know you, let's say I was friends with one of your siblings and I never knew who you were, I'd be like, wow, what a smart she is. That's the thing that comes into our head. And I think we all need to push to be better, to really dig deeper and to try to understand people and not take everything at face value, because there's so much bullshit in this world. And I am curious about what people's perception of you will be. I think for me, I hear your story and I think, good, I'm glad you fucking cheated on him, you know? And yeah, it sucks. He was deployed, and that sucks. And the timing of that was really shitty, but the deployment, it was a manipulation in itself. Everything that you went through was a manipulation, and he moved you away from your family. So then you didn't have a support system that you could say, hey, I'm going to go and I'm just going to be with my family because I don't want to be with you. You got pregnant right away. And I know that you said that that was planned and stuff, but that's, again, another tie and another connection to him, that he can control you. You can't get away from him. And you saw that, like, it took so long to finally get the custody. And of course, a fucking course, he was willing to agree to it when you said that you didn't want child support. Like,
yeah,
it's money. And what I hope comes from this interview is just more understanding of people, and not saying that, like, in every marriage it makes sense for people to cheat. I don't believe that. I don't think that that is true. But I think that that's what I love so much about this podcast, is it requires us to look at people on a deeper level and not just take everything at the fucking surface.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, overall, I think, like, part of the reason I cheated too was because in my head I was like, well, fuck, if I cheat, like, why would he want to be with me? He'll have to leave. Like, he's not going to want to be in a relationship. I cheated. So that was part of it. And then too, like you said, you know, you're going to have people to listen to this. I know, you know, I'm waiting for someone to be like, you can't voluntarily deploy. Like, whatever. Yes, you can. I don't know what to tell you. That shit happens. And just manipulation tactics. That's like one of the number one red flags, I feel like. And you just don't really see it when you're in it, you know, and you can't see it until you're looking back at it. That was like a manipulation tactic. You know, I would not have been able to say that that's what that was in the moment. I can only say it hindsight 2020. And overall, yeah, no, I agree with you. That was not the way I should have handled it at all. It's really fucked up. I'm not proud of myself for it. It's not really even a story I want my oldest kid to really know. I mean, I think she'll know eventually. But the thing I was going to say too was, you know, of course he was willing to sign over custody when he had another child with another woman. And now another way to control somebody else. He had another tie to someone and he didn't need to manipulate me any longer. And when he realized that by like letting me go, he was losing all control, it was kind of just like, well, fuck it. Good riddance. And people ask me to this day, like, so you don't get child support? And I'm like, no, you know, and people are shocked by that. But can I, if I'm going to be frank, I want to end it on this note because I think it's the best way that I can. I didn't want him to have any other fucking way to control me. And I knew for a fact, if any of the money in my bank account was contributed by whatever the fuck that he did, job, whatever, I don't care. If it came from him, it was one more way that he was tied to me that he could manipulate and control me by saying, you couldn't have this if you didn't have this money for me. You couldn't buy this if you didn't have this money for me, or whatever it was. So truly, that was the reason. That was the reason I cut the child support. I was like, I cannot give this dude one leg to stand on with me. It can't happen. He cannot control me. I don't, $118 is not going to control me. I don't care. It'd be way more than that now. It does not matter. Because I would rather be fucking broke as hell, living in a shit ass house, but just, you know, having enough to take care of my kids, than have $200 from him that he could say he gave me. And the reason I have it is because of him. I don't want that. I want no ties. You can't control me. You cannot manipulate me any longer. I have custody of our child. I take care of our child. My husband and I take care of our child. And there's no fighting that. He can't say otherwise. He can't say boo. Everybody knows the truth now. It's just what it is.
I think that you're in such a good position to speak to other women who are in a similar situation to the one that you were in. And I just want to know, what would you say to somebody who's listening to this story and they check off every single thing on that list? They relate to everything that you went through with your ex. What is it that you needed to hear that would really help get you out of that situation?
God, I wish there was like a magic answer, you know, I really do. Cause I wish somebody would have said it to me. There's not like one single thing you can say because you just try to justify it, right? You just try to make it sound like it's totally normal. But if somebody's listening to it and they're checking those boxes and they're having this epiphany moment of holy shit, like I did at one point, the thing that I would say is like, tell somebody, tell anybody, tell multiple people. I don't care who the fuck you tell, text them, call them, don't care. People need to know what you're going through. And just because it's not physical doesn't mean it's not abuse. Domestic violence shelters and hotlines will talk to you about the situation. I deal with advocacy work on a daily basis now. And it's a situation that I think so many, especially women, but even men, find themselves in these emotionally manipulative relationships. And you start to feel like you're the crazy one. So if you're listening to this and you've been told you're crazy, you're psychotic over and over again because you flipped out about something that you deserve to flip out about, here's how you're not crazy. You're not psychotic. That's gaslighting. And you're being fed this information so that you feel a certain way so that you look like the crazy person when you do finally fucking lose it, because you will. And I think my biggest thing would be like, there's just no reason to stay with somebody if you're miserable. There's not a good enough reason. Everybody in this life deserves happiness, whether that's alone, whether that relationship is poly, whether that relationship is, you know, you and just you, you're whatever you want, you know, gay, trans, I do not fucking care. If you are not happy where you are at right now, and it is not getting better, and nobody wants to change, or nobody thinks it needs to change, right? Fucking leave. Because you have one life. You have this one life. Your kids do not, if you have kids, they do not deserve to see you miserable. You don't deserve to be miserable. Nobody fucking deserves to be miserable. Shit happens. We all have bad days. We're not all going to be good all the time. But you should not be in a relationship where you're not feeling fulfilled. Not all the time, obviously, but just in general. Like, You have to be happy. You are the only person that can create that for yourself. And if you're just not in a good relationship, then it's time to fucking leave. Because I promise you, I am not going to live the next fucking 60 years of my life or 50 or whatever God gives me, and maybe even tomorrow, being in a relationship with someone who doesn't respect me. It's not worth it. The biggest thing would be just tell people and get out.
I cannot stress this enough. Ladies or gentlemen, whoever needs to hear this message, your relationship should not be constantly dragging you down. Your relationship should not make you a worse version of yourself. It should make you a better version. You should not feel on edge the second that your partner gets home. You shouldn't be worried about asking them for a favor. You should not find yourself holding your breath because you're afraid of how they might react to something. And like, a healthy relationship, this one's really important. A healthy relationship should not cause you to lie to your family to make your partner look better. Like, if your family thinks that your husband is overweight and they have like annoying opinions about that, sure. Lie and just say that, like, oh, he's been really trying to be better. Like, even if that fat ass has done nothing, like, that's fine. Throw that lie in there. But like, you shouldn't be lying about their personality. If you can't be honest with those closest to you, you have to ask yourself why. Like, why are you sacrificing the trust and bond there to make somebody who does these things that are terrible to look better? I don't know. I'm happy that this woman cheated because I think that her ex was a piece of shit. But do I think that there's other ways that she could have handled it? Yes. Do I think that we could all handle things differently in life? Yes. She made some mistakes. I make mistakes every single day of my life. I'm not going to crucify her for that. Like her family did, you know. I have to say, her family and the way that they handled that and putting everything on Facebook was pretty shitty. Like, that is next level petty. I don't know why they even thought that it involved them. But I do think that I would like to talk to them at some point. Because I just think, you know, that's some crazy shit. Anyways, I just hope this episode is an eye-opener for anyone out there who is currently in a relationship with someone like her ex, or, you know, maybe you hear this episode, you put the information in the back of your mind, and down the road you find yourself with someone who's doing these same things, or maybe your friend or a family member is in this relationship and you know that it's bad and you want to help them get out of it. But I think the first thing is just making them realize what's happening. I hope that that's what these episodes are for everybody. Just an eye opener, a sound of the alarm, you know? Don't stay in these types of relationships. Because I think too that the other thing that you can hear from this story is you can hear how much better her life is and how much happier she is once she got out of this relationship. That's all I want. I just want everyone in the world to find happiness in every aspect of their life. Because I think that when you're happier, you're nicer to the people around you, and then those people feel happier in their lives, so they go out and they're nicer. Just pay it forward, you know? If we're all in these awful, toxic relationships, like, that wears us down. We can't be nice to other people, and we get nasty with people, and then they go out and they're nasty, and it's happiness is contagious. Contagious is probably not the best word of 2020, but you get the point. All right. Thank you guys for listening. I will see all of you next week.
Everybody has a secret.